The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Can I ask you kind of a weird question?
What do you say we have a rock and roll party?
You sure you want your one question to be that stupid?
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to part two of the third annual Ask Us Anything edition of Basically a Sports Show. Part one being a rousing success. Although a bit long, and we're back to take on the second round of your questions.
Yeah, these things are long, but we do it for you, the people.
I thought about this, and I'm going to ask you guys this. Why haven't we thought of this, like having these guys throw topics at us? Not just ask us anything stuff, but why haven't we used our audience more to come up with topics to talk about?
We tried. We opened up the emails forever.
Yeah, nobody uses email anymore. I mean, can you imagine? We live in an age now where email is kind of considered
out of date.
It's really only I use it for official stuff,
like work and business stuff, and that's about it really. But I think we should throw it out there, and if you've got topics, you know, don't throw them at us. Beer Guy Jordan here asked us a question about an athlete's legacy, and I thought that question was a topic all by itself, and what we're going to do is actually save that for a future show and make an entire segment out of it, because I think it warrants that much of a discussion.
Because we've got an entire summer looking.
I was trying to make it sound nice, like that it was a really great question and all that, not that we're just looking for a way to kill time, which we're not. I think it's a good question.
The home run derby or the gold cup?
Home run derby. Do you guys watch that stupid home run derby?
Yeah, I mean, I hate it. Where I am right now, but Carl Ravich is doing the play-by-play this year. No more Berman.
I've actually got my Roku tuned in to SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio because I just want to get as far away from that home run derby as I can. Anyway, shall we get the proceedings underway, guys?
Sure.
Who wants to? So we're going to pick it up with Beer Guy Jordan. His last question is, what is your favorite sports venue, food, or snack?
For me, it depends on time and place.
Okay.
At Angel Games, they have this open fire grill. They're foot-long hot dogs, but they're not like Dodger dogs, where they're long and skinny. You can get just the traditional hot dog, or you can get like brisket put on it with barbecue sauce and cheese and stuff. So at Angel Games, I get just the hot dog. At Ducks Games, I generally don't get food because it's kind of sucks. But churros are my favorite things at Ducks Games.
Doesn't matter the sports or venue. I always love myself a big pretzel, big soft pretzel.
No, those are good. My favorite is the crab cakes you can get at Camden Yards. They're awesome. Expensive, but well worth it. For my daily stuff, Progressive Field has this place, kind of like what Zach's talking about. It's a grill place, and they make these really good cheeseburgers. I like pretzels, too. And if I'm at a Jackets game, got to give me some Tim Hortons, man. The chocolate Timbits, best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, are we done with that one?
Yeah, I think so.
Any of you guys going to go to Vegas to check out a game?
That's interesting because been talking to the friends I go to Vegas with. I asked her, like, does anyone want to catch a hockey game over there? And the universal consensus was, let's not waste a night in Vegas at a hockey game. So, unless the Leafs happen to be playing while we're there, the answer is no.
I am going to go because their division team, I can make the quick drive.
If I were going to go to Vegas and they were playing and at home, I would definitely go. It's a team that's brand new. I've only ever seen the inaugural season of one other team, and that was the Blue Jackets. I would like to see that. Vegas doesn't do a lot for me. I'm not a gambler, really. I'd love to go see it, but I don't know that I'd have anything else to do besides go to a hockey game because I'm not going to spend a bunch of money in the casinos. So I'd be there more for the attractions and stuff. So, yeah, I would definitely go if I were going to go to Vegas. But the thing is, Vegas is very low on my list of places I've got to go to in the near future. So if I were there, yes, I absolutely would go to a game. Especially if they're playing like an Original Six team or the Jackets or something like that, I'd definitely go.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the arena, it's just, it's smack in between the two casinos, the New York and the Monte Carlo. It's, I don't know. It just seems like it'd be a cool thing. You can do all the Vegas stuff during the day, catch a game at 7 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
And the game gets out at 10, and nights in Vegas aren't ending at 10 o'clock.
No.
You'll be occupied well into the morning.
In Vegas, if you're going to go out, you're probably not even heading out the door until 10 o'clock.
Right.
I mean, I can't see much point in going anywhere in Vegas at like 7:30. That's when the old people are there in their Velcro shoes and shit. I want to go when it's happening.
Nothing has swayed me, by the way. Sorry, not going.
How about this, Mike?
Yes.
Paul, Zach, let me ask him this. If it weren't for your friends, would you go?
If it weren't for my friends, depends on the team. Like,
let's say that just for the hell of it, that the three of us, you, me, and Zach decide, hey, we're going to meet up in Vegas, and Zach and I go, we're going to go see the Las Vegas Golden Knights of Nevada play hockey tonight. You wouldn't go with us?
I'd go in that case, yeah.
Okay, we'll see. There you go.
But, if it was entirely up to me, it would depend on the team. And not just the Leafs, but it would have to be, like, a matchup. Or they'd have to be playing a team that I wanted to go see, but, like, I've got no interest in seeing, like, a Golden Knights Coyotes game in like, the middle of February. Like,
that would be a tough sell for me, too. I got to be honest.
So, but if it was, like, if they were playing the defending champs or something, yeah.
Okay, so are we ready to move on? This is from our friend Bring Back the Vet. If it was scientifically possible for a man to get pregnant, would you do it for no other reason than to experience the thrill of bringing a new life into the world? And if so, which board member's child would you bear? Just to remove the obvious, easy answer, I'm not eligible to be selected as sire, which cracked me up when I read it.
Well, that was a good one.
First off, my answer to the question is no, so that kind of takes all the fun right out of it. No, I wouldn't do it. You needed to phrase it different, like you have to do it. Then you put us in a spot where we have to answer, so I just say no and move along.
I'm going to answer it as if it's you have to do it, because otherwise it's just kind of boring.
Right.
So in the event that I had to go through with it, I think it's actually a really easy answer. And I might be cheating because this person is banned, so they're not technically a board member, but whatever. And that would be ICS. I think that would be the route to go down.
ICS?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So you would want ICS to be the father of the child?
Oh, yeah, because the rationale is entirely carnal in nature. Because ICS is batshit insane.
Right.
And I don't want to disparage anyone, but that generally means he'd probably be good in bed.
I got you. Okay. All right.
And so if it had to happen, you know, why not?
Okay. I'm doing this basing it on the idea that I would be artificially inseminated. Okay.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. Back up then. Okay.
How else would you get it done? I mean,
Mike's thinking they found a way to do it the traditional way. I got you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're already saying, you know, men being impregnated, then we are obviously taking liberties with.
I was thinking artificial insemination. So, well, now I've got to think who would be gentle with me.
Who would be a good father?
Who would be gentle with me?
Oh, I see. Yeah, that would be terrible. But the one night of passion would be something to hold on to.
Just because our relationship's not fucked up enough already, I'm going to say the Admiral would be who I would pick.
Oh, God.
And I think he would find the humor in it.
Oh. I don't have any good answers. At first I was like, well, LMU, and then I thought about it, and I was like, oh, he's a big man.
He's 7 feet tall. Try as he might to be gentle, it's probably not going to happen.
It's oddball.
If we're going to go board members, let's go our Lord and Savior CC97, because he's in a good place financially to support my job.
That's a good thought too. Yeah. Okay.
Very true.
Yeah.
And he gets Canadian citizenship. So.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. I should just stop the show after that. I don't know where you go from there.
We go to whatever the next question is.
Right, okay. Let's see here.
From Charles.
Man, he asked me just the nicest question. I don't know if he believes any of this shit, but if he does, wow, thank you. I'll start. Zach, how do you feel about people who spell Zach with a K instead of an H? Do you view them as heretics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though it's not their fault and is their parents?
Yeah. Well, look, at least they're not ZACs where they didn't, like, commit to the extra consonant. But, I mean, you look at the Bible, the name is Zachariah, and it's spelled with an H. So, yeah. And, look, it drives me up the wall because it's like, my name is my name. It's how it's spelled.
Yeah.
And somehow or another, my friends, when they're sending text messages in our group chat, just forget that it's an H, and they just put in the K, and it drives me up a wall. Up the fucking wall.
Wow, okay.
It's something that really gets on my nerves. Yeah.
I'm not going to ask this next question because I'm already, like, too full of myself from it, so you guys take it.
Well, it's to you, Greg. How about, if you don't mind my candidness, you're one of the coolest 50-year-olds that Charles knows. What's the secret to staying cool and not allowing the world to turn you into a bitter old codger? He's not being sarcastic at all. He thinks you're cool as shit.
Honestly, Charles, and thank you so much. That's so nice of you to say all that. I think, though, if you hung out with me, you'd find out that I'm probably not quite as cool as you think I am. I don't know how to answer the rest of that, really. I mean, to answer it is to grant the premise, and I'm not sure I'm ready to grant the premise of the question. But one of the things that keeps me, I wouldn't think cool is the right word to use, but maybe a little more relatable than most 50-year-olds you know, is that I don't have kids. And that kept us young, if that makes any sense. But I do appreciate the kind words, Charles. That's very, very nice of you to say that. I'm pretty cool, but I don't know if I'm that cool. Okay, let's move along.
Next question's for Mike from Charles again. If you could have a book of battle royale reserved for only the most over-the-top gimmicks, who would be your final six? Feel free to name more or less as you see fit. Who would win, and what would their reward be? You have all wrestlers from any promotion at any point in history at your disposal.
Okay. First, I would put the Shockmaster up there from WCW. For those unaware, Shockmaster was going to be one of Sting's allies for his War Games match against, I believe, the Dangerous Alliance. And the Shockmaster was wearing this weird furry vest and a bedazzled Stormtrooper helmet. And he was supposed to bust through a rigged-up wall all dramatically in the segment he was introduced at, and then he tripped over a piece of plywood and the helmet fell off. So he would have to be in there.
He's one of Charles's six as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Shockmaster is just... You can't beat the Shockmaster. That's a Dusty Rhodes classic. After that would be Mil Muertes from Lucha Underground, because... at the age of 8, he was trapped in the 1985 Mexican City earthquake. It took 7 hours for rescue crews to dig him out of the rubble, during which time he gave up on life and embraced the death. And he emerged as Mil Muertes, the man of 1,000 deaths, who has the power, who has vague necro world powers. So I'd have to put him in. Also from Lucha Underground, Matanza Cuerto, who is like the insane brother of Spanish billionaire Dario Cuerto, who was kept locked up in a cage for most of his life, and he's just this crazy, unstoppable monster. Lucha Underground, by the way, is the greatest television show currently on TV right now. Just going to throw that out.
I think we should go back to talking about how cool I am. I'm just kidding, Mike. Go ahead.
After him is The Undertaker, because...
Oh, now we're talking.
As much as everyone loves The Undertaker, and I do love The Undertaker, I think if you're going to be objective about it, his gimmick is pretty goddamn ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely.
After that is another one that Charles had on his list, which is Glacier, who was WCW's attempt to actually have Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat, the wrestler.
Oh, my favorite Mortal Kombat character.
So Glacier is, he's definitely on there. And then finally, RoboCop. And I mean actually RoboCop from WCW Capital Combat in 1990. RoboCop, the actual RoboCop as part of a Turner cross promotion Warner Brothers thing showed up at the pay-per-view to save Sting from Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen. So RoboCop, he appeared on a wrestling pay-per-view. He interacted with wrestlers. He's a wrestler. I'm throwing him on there. I had to give the nod to Mil Muertes from Lucha Underground. And as the winner, he wins the right to lose to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 34.
Oh,
well,
I do want to go back to talking about how cool I am for just a second.
Okay.
He did ask me a question. What's the secret to staying cool? And I'm not, again, I don't grant his premise, but the one thing I would suggest, Charles, is don't let anyone tell you you need to act a certain way because of your age, because that's just a crock of shit. Don't do it. Be yourself, regardless of what anybody else thinks, and you'll be just fine. Okay. Where are we at?
We'll go down to your post, Greg, where you got all these questions from the Facebook and the emails.
Oh, yeah. I think these are from Adam, I want to say. Couple of them.
What Canadian province or territory would you guys like to live in the most? Mike, you were ineligible to say Ontario because you're from Ontario.
Well, as I explained in the thread, Ontario being the best province is not a matter of bias.
It could also be the best province, but continue.
It also is because women are legally allowed to go topless there. So, you know,
really?
it is the best province. Yeah.
Huh.
Nobody does it, so don't think you're going to go to Toronto and just see a bunch of tits, but legally it's allowed. But yeah, Ontario being the best is just scientific fact. So, but I suppose if I wasn't allowed to say Ontario, I would probably say Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
I would probably have to go with BC.
Ah,
that's a good choice.
British Columbia. It's beautiful. And really, it's, you know, assuming that you're living around the Vancouverish area, it's the area that's not going to get the most Canadian type weather.
Nah, you don't want to live in Vancouver. You want to live in Victoria, full of the... full of the provincial bureaucrats and the old people.
Yeah, well, that's in the area because I thought about it. It's like, as much as it'd be funny to say Saskatchewan, so I could vote for the Saskatchewan party.
You know, how can you not love a party whose main platform is we like Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan. I'm going with BC too because I Vancouver would be a place I would love to go and live. So BC. And they've got the Vancouver Canadiens AAA team. The Canucks are there, I guess, which whatever. But you know, it's a coastal city. I think it's got mountains and stuff, and it just looks spectacular. So Vancouver, British Columbia would be my choice.
Yeah, as much as I would love to say, like, I love Montreal a lot, but I don't think I could live in Quebec just because of the Frenchness.
I wouldn't even say it's the Frenchness so much, because maybe it's just because I have a high school background in it. But like, I think if you stuck me in Montreal, Quebec City for like a year, I could get by, like, just being acclimated to it. The problem of Quebec City is just the politics surrounding the language thing, because like every provincial election becomes this big referendum on whether or not non-French people should get to matter, and it just becomes a huge cluster. My dad's family are Jewish Anglophones from Quebec, and it's not all roses there politically if you're not a Francophone. So that's, I think, more so the problem than the actual language.
Yeah.
Or Ontario. Okay.
Why don't we ever have guests on the show?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer for that.
I think the only time we did is we got McCarthy to come on one week when Zach was unable to make it, and that's about it.
I guess to me, and I don't know what you guys think on this, but to me, I don't know what a guest would bring because we're not an interview show, and we're not you know what I mean? Like, what would the point be?
Right. It's kind of along the same lines as why we don't like actively market ourselves or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if we were going to go through the effort of getting a guest, then that's the kind of thing that we would be doing if we were trying to make the show bigger than it is,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, try to expand its reach or whatever.
Right.
If you get a guest and that's, you want people to be interested in the show to listen to it. And it's like, I would have no problem talking to somebody or having a guest, you know, for a topic or whatever, but it's just not in this show's ambition. Probably
it's not the ambition, and I don't really think it fits what we do either very well.
And more, I think more of the thing, and why we tried it at a certain point, but it's like we can't set ourselves to a schedule sometimes,
right?
And if we have to be like, if we had to coordinate between the three of us and then add in another person, like when this person is available, when are we available, when does that cross sect? It's just not something that we need to really go through the.
Oh yeah, often it'll come up where like we don't really even set a like we don't even solidify when we're recording the show to like the day of, like it'll just be a Monday or like, are we doing it tonight? And yeah. There's a lot of cases where it's like, nah, can't make it. Let's do it Wednesday or Thursday. And That's completely fine when it's the three of us, but when we're bringing in like a special guest for a one-time thing, like that's not really even fair to Lib to
right.
like make them sort of have to wait on whether or not we can line everything up at the last minute.
Yeah, and I'm just going to go back to what I said before. I just don't think that a guest would fit the format of how we do this show. I don't see us going from our sitting around basically just having a typical conversation between three people and all of a sudden we shift into interview mode. I mean, I'd be willing to try it, but I just don't know that. First off, I don't think that it would be that easy to do because it doesn't fit the format. Secondly, I don't think that the listeners would like it because it would change the show dramatically if we did that. And I don't think that's what we want to do. So that's kind of my
thing. Just for interviews, like, I think the only time that it would work is if one of us wasn't going to be there for the week and we knew ahead of time when we said so.
Right.
And then brought somebody else on to fill the spot. Like
a guest host is one thing, but a guest right. like for an interview, that's a completely different animal. Yeah.
Right. We could do guest hosts, but even it would just have to be to replace somebody because as much as we love Andy, when we get all four of us together, we haven't done a four-person thing in so long.
Yep.
That we're just not used to balancing the time and we end up talking over each other or
because when he was on for the year he was on, I mean, we had gotten into that groove of four people, and then when he left and we got into the groove of the three of us, when he would come back, it was great to have him back, don't get me wrong, and he can still come back anytime he wants, but it really kind of threw off the balance of the show when he would come back because we weren't used to it anymore. You know, it's just a guest host is one thing. I'd be fine with that. Like if one of us can't make it, sure. But to have guests like, okay, we're going to have on this week so-and-so from such-and-such, I don't see it. I don't think it fits what we do.
Mm-hmm. And I guess kind of just going back to the point of what a guest would be, I mean, presumably it would be in an interview-like scenario. And the thing about that is that, like, the show as it is now is just guys talking about various sports related stuff. And so if we brought on a guest, and most of it seems to be coming from like the boards, like from CCSLC, some people, some posters there, it's like, oh, I'd like to be a guest. And it's no offense to any of those people, but it's like, well, if you were to come on, we're not going to be interviewing you. You'd just be a fourth person in this conversation. And that really doesn't add anything.
Right.
And so the only real reason to bring on a fourth person outside of Andy, because Andy is a founding member of this, so he can come back whenever he wants. But outside of that, the only reason to bring a fourth person on would be to interview them. And as Greg explained, we're not an interview show, so that would kind of be pointless.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, if it was just a two-person show, you could do a weekly third wheel to come in and add to the conversation. But with the three of us, we filled everything out pretty well.
And one last thing I'm going to throw in, too. If you're talking like, okay, I'm assuming they mean like, say, we could like say if we could get, I don't know, off the top of my head, Aaron Judge from the Yankees. I've never liked doing those kind of interviews because I like the ability to criticize someone, and if I think I know them even a little bit, like if I've talked to him and it becomes real to me, I won't say anything bad about him the rest of my life. And that you know, that hurt me when I did my sports show back in the old days. That's why we started out doing interviews at first, and I said, I can't do this because, like, you know, Jim Boeheim was one of my first big interviews with the coach of the Syracuse basketball team. And when I got to talking to him and stuff, I'm like, this is a cool guy. And I don't really get me to say anything bad about him today. And it's been 20 years later. It's just a weird thing to me. I like keeping that part. I want to come at this from the approach of being a fan. We're not, I mean, I guess Zach and I sort of are journalists. Zach definitely is. But for this particular outlet, I want to be a fan of nothing else. That's it. I don't want to be a journalist. Just a fan that's just talking to two other people about sports. That makes
sense.
Yeah,
I lost the thing you're talking about, Greg. I lost that gene a while ago.
Yeah, and you do.
I am okay with talking about people behind their back.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And, like, you know, on my sports show, it was tougher for me because sometimes they listen. I mean, there's a guy that was the general manager of the single A team in Auburn that hates my guts to this day because of things I said about him. But it's just, I like to keep the distance for something like this. I would rather keep it where I'm just a fan. I don't want to get into the whole being a journalist part on this part, you know, on this. I don't want to do that. So, all right.
Next one. Who are our least favorite players on our least favorite teams?
No, who are your players on your least favorite teams?
Right, your favorite players on your least favorite teams.
Right.
For example, for me, who is my favorite LA King? Could be all-time or current.
I forget who sent us this one.
I don't know.
If you don't like any of them, just, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what rules are here.
Like, if I had to give anybody the benefit of the doubt on, like, the current LA Kings, yeah, I guess it would be Kopitar.
Oh, come on. He's a Slovenian national treasure.
See, okay, well, let me ask a question because this brings up an interesting point. So is it like, is the rivalry that intense with you that no matter what this player is like, you're not going to like him as long as he's wearing that black and silver uniform?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was even trying to think of, like, the old LA Kings, like, even when they were bad, I'm trying to think of a player that they had on their team that I liked.
Rogie Vachon. And,
well, he's before.
What about Rob Blake?
I hated Rob Blake. Rob Blake's a
jerk. Dude, I'm not even in this rivalry, and I never liked Rob Blake.
I think the only guy, I mean, there's Gretzky, but, you know,
I don't even really, and some Kings fans might get upset about this, but I don't even really consider Gretzky like a king.
Yeah.
Like, to me, he's, and I know he had, like, the second, like, of all the teams he was on, the second most amount of success he had was on the Kings, but, like, to me, Gretzky's always an Oiler and, like, a Ranger because that's who he retired with.
I guess when it comes to, like, somebody, it would have to be who I respect from, like, the Kings.
Okay, yeah, whatever, you know.
And I guess that would have to be Kopitar because fuck Drew Doughty. Fuck Jonathan Quick.
Well, see, like, in my case, when I saw this question, I thought back to, you know, the original Browns and the rivalry with the Steelers. And as much as I hated the Pittsburgh Steelers, I always liked Terry Bradshaw, and I always liked John Stallworth. I don't know why, and I've always hated the Cowboys, and I liked Drew Pearson a lot. But, you know, they were like my favorite players on teams that I really couldn't stand. I couldn't give you a long list of players like that, but they were three that I always liked despite who they played for.
I would have to say Steve Yzerman for the Red Wings.
Really? Because you hate him now.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of...
Steve Yzerman, the executive, is... Well, okay, here's the thing about Steve Yzerman, is that I hate him because he's a Red Wing. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, like, a player who I respect, it's hard not to respect Steve Yzerman, the hockey player.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. I still don't like him because he was a Red Wing, but if the question is, like, biases aside, on your least favorite teams, like, who do you like, Yzerman has to be close to the top of that list. The other one I would, the other ones I would throw out there are Carey Price.
Yeah.
Carey Price for the Canadiens, and he's a past Canadian, Saku Koivu.
I'll throw another one in, too, for me. David Ortiz of the Red Sox. Now, you guys know how much I hate the fucking Red Sox, but I like David Ortiz. I always have. He just seems like a good guy. Okay, we ready to move on? Or go ahead.
Like, Can't think of any Patriots. Zero New England Patriots.
Current?
ever.
Yeah. I mean, I can't come up with any of
them. I guess. But that's only because I like him on TV.
Who?
Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah, I can't. I'm going all the way back to 70s Patriots, and I can't come up with anyone.
Yeah.
All right. I don't.
Bruschi also played for the University of Arizona, so screw him.
Let me think if there's any Michigan players I ever liked. No, not really.
Not a Harbaugh fan?
No. That guy is such a flaming douchebag. I'm sorry. We'll save him for football season. What a. I don't. You know what? And everybody was like, oh, now that Harbaugh's back, this is going to turn into a rivalry again. We're still waiting, Jim. We're still kicking your ass left and right. Jesus, you had a fucking beat last year in Columbus, and you blew it. We're still waiting.
They had him this time.
Yeah.
And then he whined about it like a bitch afterwards.
Yep.
Like, it's like, no, you don't get to blow that kind of a lead and then cry foul. No, that's all on you.
Yeah, and talk to us when you've got a serious threat to our team. But right now, I think Michigan State's a bigger rival than you guys are. Because a rivalry has to be more than one-sided. Right now, this is our second homecoming game every year, you asshole. So fuck right off.
Throw in the shade with Sparty.
Goddamn right. Sparty's our rival now because at least they can beat us once in a while.
Oh, ouch. Brutal.
OHIO, bitches. Buckeye Nation, baby. All right, anyway.
We still have a lot to get through.
Right.
All right. Best concert you've ever been to?
Oh, that's easy for me. Paul McCartney.
Probably in terms of just fun. Electric Six in London, Ontario, years and years ago. I mean, that was just like a fun concert, so there you go.
Although Kiss on the Cycle Circus Tour was pretty freaking awesome, too. So one of those two.
Yeah, mine's Metallica. Easy.
Oh, man. I so badly want to see them.
They're coming back around, and they've done this cool thing this tour. Every place they've gone to, at the venue, because they're playing sports venues, of course, at the venue they're playing at, they'll have a T-shirt specifically designed for that city's sports team.
Cool.
So like when they played in Minnesota's new stadium, they had a Viking T-shirt. When they played at the Eagle Stadium, they had an Eagle Metallica shirt. So they're playing at the Rose Bowl and they're playing at Petco Park in San Diego. And I think I want to go to the San Diego game, and I'd be so interested to get a Metallica San Diego T-shirt. That'd be
What color would it be?
I think it'd probably be navy blue, but I'm trying to think if the other ones were just black with the logo on it.
Of the two options, what was it you said they're playing, the Rose Bowl and Petco?
Rose Bowl.
Yeah, you want to go to the Petco show just because it's a smaller venue. Rose Bowl, you could be 8 miles away. Yeah, right. I would love to see those. Maybe this is why Charles thinks I'm a cool 50-year-old, because I'd like Metallica. I don't know.
Who doesn't like Metallica?
Dude, a lot of people my age don't like Metallica. They don't even know what Metallica is. Like, you go to somebody my age like Metallica, they're like, oh, that's that fucking awful band that my kid listens to. Me, I'm like, no, they're awesome. One of the best bands of all time. Okay, shall we move along?
Let me pull this back up. The 5th anniversary of the show is coming up, obviously, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, closer than we think. Yeah, it's not that far off, really.
It's whenever football season starts.
Yep.
Are we surprised that the show has lasted this long? How long did we think it would last? Or do we think it will last? If one of us left, would you replace that person, do a two-man show, or end the show altogether?
Oh, who wants that first?
I'm surprised it lasted this long, yeah. Like, especially once Andy left, and I thought, okay, we're all going to maybe hit a wall here, and maybe it won't work, and we'll just get bored of it. We'll forget. You know, you forget 1 week, and then you forget 2 weeks, and all of a sudden you just stop doing it all of a sudden.
That's what happened to the Logo Cast, basically, yeah.
Right. So I am surprised that we've gotten to this far. How long it will last? I don't know. Have either of you like ever had thoughts of being like, you know what? I don't feel like doing this anymore.
No,
not really. No, like it doesn't feel like an obligation or work. It's just like, oh, yeah, you know, this is fun to do. Just keep doing it.
I look at it like it's an hour a week. I enjoy talking to you guys. And as long as that's the case, you know, I'm in for as long as you want to go. You know,
yeah.
Am I surprised it lasted this long? I like you, Zach. I think when Andy left, I thought this could be the beginning of the end. But it seems like we just kind of, I don't know, I don't know what happened there, but we got some sort of resolve or something, and we just, you know, I think it got strong. I won't say better, but I think it got, like, stronger. Like, we were a little more committed to it after he left, and it just, and, you know, here we are 5 years later. And how long it lasts, I guess it's entirely up to us. As long as it's fun and it's not, you know, everybody's in and doing it, I'm fine with it. I'll keep going.
My attitude is, you know, so long as it's fun to do, I'll keep doing it. And I don't dwell on how long it will last or anything like that. It's just sort of like, keep on going, keep on keeping on. And if it ends, it ends. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And whatever.
I think too. Yeah. I'm wondering if it's reached a point where we've been doing it so long now, it's like, okay, now we can't stop because we've been doing it too long type of thing.
Well,
you know?
Now if it stops, we've got to make a spectacle out of it.
Right.
Right. Like, I'm not going to lie. There have been points where it's like, do I really feel like doing this today? Like, you know, do I want to move around my schedule to do this today? And that's really the only time that I think that I would leave is because of the career path that I want to take. At a certain point, I may have to do my own podcast for work. Or I just make it to a point where I get too busy and it's like, I just can't fit it in. I'm on the road. I'm covering a team. I'm doing something. And, you know, that would be that, but we're also at a point where, yeah, it's just, we've been doing it for so long that if we were going to end it, we'd have to make a big deal about it. And, there's no reason to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of us left, would we just end the show? Or would we go with two people forever?
I'm going to borrow a quote from one of Canada's great exports, the band Rush. To me, basically a sports show today is these three guys. Now, that's not to say that couldn't change. If like, say, okay, like in Zach's case, if he said, guys, I just can't do it anymore, and I'm too busy, et cetera, okay, you know, then Mike and I could sit down and go, okay, do we want to bring in somebody? Just make it the two of us or whatever. But, you know, ideally to me, it's us three, but I wouldn't rule it out, but I would rather not ever have to face that choice, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. Like, if either Zach or Greg left, like, I want to sit down with the guy who was left and just not even push for one thing or another. Just talk about, like, hey, what do you want to do?
Right.
And, I honestly have no idea if that conversation were to happen, I have no idea what the result of it would be, but
yeah,
it would be what would happen. So
yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, if Mike left, be like, Greg and I already do a show together and we can do it half
well,
a year.
You know, speaking of that other show that we do together, now you want to talk about one where I go, man, I don't know if I want to do this week. That one's getting there with me. I'm not going to lie to you about it.
Yeah.
The football show. And I really think that it's a discussion we could have, but I don't know that it would be the worst thing in the world to just fold that bitch into this thing and make it just go back to doing one a week. But that's something we can talk about down the road. Anything else on that before we end up like fucking up and like breaking the show up by accident here?
Speaking of which,
this next question is going to do that. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I see these questions like these are weird because I've never sat down and like analyzed ourselves.
No, and neither have I. And you know what? I'm going to suggest right now that, and I'm not saying this just, I'm not blowing smoke up anybody's ass. I don't think that there are any weaknesses to you guys. So I'm not even going to talk about what is the worst because I don't think there is anything.
The question is, what do we think is the best attribute of our co-hosts that each of us bring to the show?
When I first saw this, I thought, oh, great, this is going to be the Festivus question, like the airing of grievances.
But
like I said, like I thought about it, and again, I don't want to seem like I'm just sucking up or anything, but I honestly enjoy talking about random sports crap with you guys, and I've never really given a thought to, like, what are our strengths and weaknesses?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I will say, to me, it's a very simple answer. The best attribute that these two bring to the show is that we all three get along and talk to each other. That's it. There's no greater secret than that to me. What is our worst attributes? I don't know. I mean, maybe I've got some, maybe they've got some, but you know what? That's not for me to decide. And I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole because I can't think of any, first off. And secondly, I don't think there are any. So there.
Yeah. And it's not like it's anything that makes us want to stop doing the show.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like if there was legitimately something that any of us bothered about each other, it would end up showing up in the quality of the show, really. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just say, you know what? I can't deal with this anymore. I'm going to be done.
Yeah. So what do we each bring? The best thing we bring to the show is that we show up and we do the show.
We show up and we get along, yeah, and we like talking to each other. And yeah, that's it.
That's it.
We each bring different perspectives that,
right,
ultimately I think complement each other.
Yep.
Rather than like clash. We're not fighting all the time. Do we have our things that kind of push our buttons? Sure. You guys have heard that over the years, but
eh. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Who are your all-time favorite players in each sport? I'm allowed to use NASCAR drivers if I want. Anybody?
Yeah.
Mine right off the top of my head if you want me to reel them off real quick.
Sure.
Football, it's Joe Montana. Baseball, it's Reggie Jackson. Hockey, it's Mark Messier. Basketball, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And, you know, I don't know that I have an all-time favorite NASCAR driver.
Favorite hockey player of all time, Teemu Selanne, number one with a bullet. Favorite football player of all time, Peyton Manning. Favorite baseball player of all time. My favorite Angel growing up was always Garrett Anderson.
Yeah, good choice.
But I mean, Mike Trout's right there, man.
Oh yeah.
It's a little early to like throw him up to that spot, but he's up there. There's nothing that guy can't do, and it just amazes me every time I see him.
If it weren't for the fact that
basketball player of all time is Kobe Bryant and Derek Fisher. Those are my two.
Oh, for me, it's Kareem and probably Michael Cooper, my second favorite. Although I also really liked Julius Erving a lot too. But anyway, Mike, what about it?
Hockey, Curtis Joseph.
Okay.
Football, the Daniel Thompson.
Okay.
Basketball, Vince Carter.
All right.
Baseball, Carlos Delgado.
Good choice.
And I guess if I wanted to throw in, like, because if you got the waiver for NASCAR, I'm going to throw in some F1 love.
Okay.
This guy was a bit before my time, but I still kind of like him insofar as kind of his legacy, and that is Niki Lauda.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I don't. Do I have a NASCAR favorite? NASCAR. I'll tell you, a guy I liked a lot when I was a kid was David Pearson. Drove the 21 car way, way back. I mean, I couldn't have been like 9, 10 years old, but. Today, NASCAR is kind of like baseball to me. I enjoy the sport more than the teams, if that makes any sense. But yeah, so.
Do you have a favorite college football player, Greg? Because easily is Reggie Bush.
For me, sure, Archie Griffin. Archie Griffin, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Archie Griffin, or let me think of another Buckeye that I really liked. That's Archie all the way. I mean, I've got his autograph and everything.
Let's say you get drafted to play your favorite sport. Would you be disappointed if a team had bad uniforms drafted you? Let's say you can play on your favorite sport. You can play for anyone except your favorite team. Who do you play for and why? First, I guess, would you be disappointed if you got drafted by a team with bad uniforms?
I mean, the uniform geeks, you know, and us and the ones that listen to the show probably all think that we would be, and maybe we would. I don't think so. I don't know.
It's strange. Like, if I really got drafted to play hockey at a professional level, no, I wouldn't. But I like it wouldn't bother me, but at the same time, like if the uniforms were absolutely hard, like if I got drafted by like the Calgary Flames, right? And like it would be a case where like it wouldn't bug me in any discernible way, but that I would also like go up to the GM and be like, hey, you know, while you have a minute, let's talk about this.
If I was like good enough to be like a franchise player and get drafted, like if I was a Connor McDavid type,
mm-hmm.
and we had and I got drafted by the Oilers right after the Edge, let's say,
mm-hmm.
and they had the original ones with the piping and the bronze and the red and all that garbage.
And the stripes that nobody could see because they were on the right. bottom of the sleeves.
Right. They were inside the armpit.
Yeah.
Or the elbow. I'd be like, hey, you know, I'm happy to be here, but look, can we get new uniforms soon? Like,
mm-hmm.
or the other thing is if I was just like a mid-level player, you hope that you just play in the minors long enough for them to change the uniforms.
Yeah.
Here's how I look at it. If I were lucky enough to be drafted to play, say, professional baseball or hockey, if I could become a hockey goalie somehow in an alternate reality, I wouldn't be disappointed if I got drafted by a team with bad uniforms, but if a team that had great uniforms drafted me, I would like that. It would certainly play into it. Like, wow, not only did I get drafted, but I get to wear that Rangers uniform. So that's the way I would look at it.
Yeah, like, if you got drafted by a team, you're just, at that point, you're happy to be
right.
a professional player. And I don't think there's any team's uniforms that are bad enough for me to say, like, ugh, I hate being here.
I mean, you know, in a perfect world, you'd love to be able to go, yeah, you know what, Tampa Bay, fuck off. I'm not wearing those stupid football uniforms, but, you know, you can't. But, yeah, I would be, you know, I would play for anybody. It wouldn't bother me. I mean, you know, obviously you would be like, well, I wish these looked a little better. But I would be thrilled if a team with great uniforms, that would actually add to it. Yeah, like, oh, I got drafted, and I also get to play. I get to wear Dodger blue. That would be cool, yeah.
Like, if I were, because hockey, I've always been a goalie, and that kind of has a cheating option because there's the mask, which you can customize, like, however you wanted. And so if I got drafted as a goalie and I got drafted to a team of bad uniforms, like, say I got drafted to the Senators, who stupidly decided to just take their stupid Edge template and copy it onto a template that it doesn't fit on, but that's besides the point. But like, if I were drafted to the Senators, like I would just, my silent protest would be to just have like a helmet that was nothing but like the Heritage O logo and just be like, no, I'm not putting that stupid cartoon Centurion on it. And so you all know what's up.
Or, you know what the real goal would be? Is to be an MLB starting pitcher, and then you get to pick what uniforms you wear that day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, that's both a blessing and a curse, because in some cases, that's why, like, we never see some teams' real road uniforms.
Well, you know, I played catcher in baseball, so I could kind of do the mask thing like Mike, too. Like, if I got drafted by a team with shitty uniforms, I could make my mask, because I'd wear the hockey goalie-style catcher's mask. I can make a statement with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we ready to move on?
Yeah, what was the next part was, if you get drafted in your favorite sport, you can play for anybody except your favorite team. Who do you play for?
In baseball, I'd play for the Dodgers or the Angels, just to be in Southern California. Of course, they're both kind of my favorite team, so that's a tough one for baseball. I don't know if I can answer that.
I guess I would want to be drafted by either in hockey, Montreal or Chicago, both because I love both the cities and both the uniforms are classics and all that sort of stuff that goes along with all that.
Yeah, let me do hockey. If I couldn't play, well, this is an easy one. If I couldn't play for the Jackets, I'd pick the Rangers, but that's kind of cheating, isn't it?
Rangers would be good too.
Yeah. So I'm gonna rule out the Rangers too, because even though I've made Columbus my number one team, the Ranger fandom hasn't really gone anywhere. Oh, wow. Who would I pick? I think I'd go with my Toronto Maple Leafs. or the Canadiens, maybe. Or the St. Louis Blues.
You know, get those early playoff exits.
I want to get done so we can get on to the next question here. That's two questions away.
Boston pizza. St. Louis.
I would want to be drafted if I couldn't go to the Maple Leafs, the Winnipeg Jets, because it's Canada. I'm from the country. Canadians love hockey, so there'd be great fan support. And because Winnipeg has a smaller arena than usual, you just know that every home game is going to be just a bit more loud and intimate. And I think that would be a cool environment to just play in.
I'm going to throw the Pittsburgh Penguins in there, too, just because I would love to wear those awesome uniforms.
Next. Did Lee Harvey Oswald act alone? Quick yes or no's.
No.
No. The X-Files told me so.
Yeah, Mike, sounds like we need to do another episode of basically a conspiracy show after that one. No, I don't think he acted alone. I don't know that the conspiracy is as far-reaching as, say, like Oliver Stone thinks it is, but something was going on there. Something was definitely going on there.
I don't know. Shooter on the grassy knoll. Why not?
All right.
Do any of us play golf? I own clubs, but I don't use them nearly as often as I probably should.
Same here.
I bought a driver from a Goodwill store, and I occasionally hit balls at a driving range, and that's about it.
With that, we will wrap up part two of the third annual Ask Us Anything edition of Basically a Sports Show. Before we move on to part three, don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports, subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and YouTube, and find us on Facebook. Okay, let's all head over to part three of this marathon episode of Basically a Sports Show.